Tigers in Red Weather. Written by Liza Klausman. Read by Katherine Kellgren.
Dedication. To my grandfather for the bravery, and to the rest of my family for everything else. Nick. 1945, September.
I'm not sure if it's a blessing or a curse, Helena said.
At least it's something different, Nick said. No more goddamn ration books. No more taking the bus everywhere. Hughes said he's bought a Buick. Hallelujah.
Lord knows where he got it,
Helena said. Probably from some cheap fixer. Who cares, said Nick, stretching her arms lazily toward the New England night sky. They were sitting in the backyard of their house on Elm Street, wearing their slips and drinking gin neat out of old jelly jars. It was the hottest Indian summer anyone in Cambridge could remember. Nick eyed the record player sitting precariously in the window. The needle was skipping. It's too hot to do anything but drink, she said, laying her head back against the rusting garden chair. Louis Armstrong was stuck repeating that he had a right to sing the blues. The first thing I'm going to do when I get to Florida is get Hughes to buy me a whole bushel of good needles.
That man, Helena said, sighing.
I know, Nick said. He really is too beautiful. And a Buick and fine record needles. What more could a girl ask for? Helena giggled into her glass. She sat up.
I think I'm drunk.
Nick slammed her glass down on the arm of the chair, causing the metal to tremble. We should dance. The oak tree in the backyard cut pieces from the moon, and the sky was already a deep midnight color despite the warmth of the air. The fragrance of summer lingered, as if no one had told the grass that the middle of September had rung in. Nick could hear the nocturnal musings of the woman in the triple-decker next door, tasting the flavor of the week. She looked at Helena as she waltzed her across the grass. Helena could have turned into that kind of woman, Nick thought, with her body like a polished cello and wartime bow. But her cousin had managed to retain a freshness, all sandy curls and smooth skin. She hadn't gone ashen like the women who had gone to bed with one too many strangers blown up by mines or riddled by Schmeisers. Nick had seen those women wilting on the ration lines or creeping out of the post office, threatening to fade away into nothingness. But Helena was getting married again.
You're getting married again, Nick exclaimed a bit drunkenly, as if the thought had just crossed her mind. I know. Can you believe it?
Helena sighed, her hand warm against Nick's back.
Mrs. Avery Lewis. Do you think it sounds as good as Mrs. Charles Fenner?
It's lovely, Nick lied, spinning Helena out in a way. To her ear, the name Avery Lewis sounded exactly like what he was, some Hollywood poseur selling insurance and pretending he had dated Lana Turner, or whoever it was he was always going on about.
Fenn would probably have liked him, you know. Oh, no. Fenn would have hated him. Fenn was a boy. A sweet boy.
Dear Fenn.
Dear Fenn.
Helena stopped dancing and walked back to the gin glass waiting for her on the chair.
But now I have Avery. She sipped from it. And I get to move to Hollywood and maybe have a baby. At least this way I won't turn into an old maid, mad as a hatter and warts on my nose, a third wheel at the fireside beside you and Hughes, heaven forbid.
No third wheel, no warts, and one Avery Lewis to boot.
Yes, now we'll both really have someone of our own. That's important,
Helena said thoughtfully.
I just wonder.
Wonder what?
Well, if it'll be the same with Avery, you know, the way it was with Fenn.
You mean in bed? Nick turned quickly to face her cousin.
Well, I'll be goddamned.
Has the virginal Helena